I'm having a hard time. She follows me everywhere I go. Not true. I follow her. This is my wife, Debbie, for those of you that never met her. We, next week, next Sunday. Thank you. Next Sunday will be our 7th month anniversary. But that said, between us, we have almost 93 years of marriage. And I think that should be enough to whip most people into shape. But there are times that we really just always need Jesus in every situation. Amen. But anyhow, this is Debbie. She pastors a church in Topeka, Kansas, Light of the World. Been there for over 30 years of age. She and her husband started that church. And she's still going. She's like the ever ready. I mean, she's going all the time. But anyhow, it's a thrill for me. I tell her all the time that I believe she is a true gift from God to me. And for that, I'm always eternally grateful. I thank God for her. I thank God for what she's doing in Topeka. She's a stander. She having done all, she stands. And so this morning, you know, our purpose here this morning is that some way or other, we all get touched by God, and that the healing power of God, for one thing, begins to manifest itself in our midst. I believe God is a healer. And I believe that Jesus came, and I thought about this before I stepped up here. You know, while Jesus was walking on the face of earth, he never healed one person that was born again. Every person he healed was unsaved. Yes. And he did it gladly. He embraced them with the love of God. Love covers a multitude of sin. So as we begin this morning, I'm going to have Debbie open up in prayer. She's a prayer. And at our house, I told the church, I think the other night, I said, we speak in tongues a lot. And we pray in the Spirit a lot. And she does constantly. But what we want more than anything as a couple, and we've talked about this for a long time. This, as a matter of fact, you are kind of our guinea pigs this morning. And I don't mean to demean you by calling you a guinea pig, but we're testing the waters. But we have thought from the beginning when we had come together, back in November, and back in November 15th, it kind of got rolling. I finally got brave enough to call her, or to actually text her. That was even a big thing. And she responded to my text. That was a mistake on her part. But anyhow, we've all along, we've made the determination that we really believe that because of the season of our life and where we're at right now, that we are really, truly better together. And we could have gone on in our lives the way we were going and been totally happy. But God just kind of gave us some new direction. And in that was putting on our hearts that he wanted us to have an opportunity to minister together, to love together, to love each other, to love one another, and then also love the people that he's given us to minister to. And for that, I think we can literally be used of God, and our confession is this: we've yet to see our finest day. And even though I married a much younger woman, I'm 40, she's 39, and I'm still getting over that spirit of lying. But actually, I'm 72, and I'm not going to tell you how old she is, but I'll just say that she is younger. I had, that's wise, yes it is, especially since we're up here in public. But there was a moment in my life I began to write down things. If I were to remarry, what would I want? And the age bracket and other things that I put in. And I'm telling you, God met every one of those to the T, which is really amazing to me. And so anyhow, we're here today, I believe, because God's put us here. And we want that anointing that's on us to literally flow through us to you. And that not only to you, but to your family. I know some of you are sitting here believing God for family members that are in hospital. And good news is there's no time or distance in the Spirit. Amen. And I believe God's working this morning, and I believe there's going to be some healing manifest, not here, but just in even people watching on live stream. Amen. So, Debbie, if you would, go ahead and open us in prayer.
Hallelujah. Well, Well, Father, we love you so much. You are our delight. You are our treasure. And Father, thank you for the gathering of your body together this morning at Westview and all over the city and other places in Kansas and this nation that love people that love you with all our hearts and people that want to know you more and greater. So, Father, we just thank you again for that your presence, your word that's alive and quick and powerful. The Holy Spirit that has been given to us to teach us, to comfort us, strengthen us, bring revelation. And we receive your words this morning of life. We receive your words that bring truth and dispel all darkness. So we open our hearts and we receive as not just from the man or woman, but Father, from the Holy Spirit himself, the word of God that's alive and from you, Father. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Thank God for the goodness of God. Some of you need to know this, but Debbie has 6 children and 19 grandchildren. I have 5 children and 20 grandchildren, including 2 great-grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild on the way. Somebody asked me one day how it felt to be a great-grandpa when I had my first great-grandchild. I said, I've always been a great-grandpa. But one of the things that we want to do in our life is we want to be blessed enough that we can bless our children and our children's children. Amen? But anyhow, today I believe God wants to bless the children of the church. And I believe, as one great man of God said that has an international ministry, not only here in this country, but he had declared way back before this year began that the year 2021 would be the year of the church. And that God was going to use the local church as never before. And I'm telling you, we're in a position where if we just listen to God and flow with God, do what God wants us to do, then we'll see God manifest in new ways and fresh ways that we've not seen to date. But God wants to do things with the local church. He's just waiting for the local church to stand up, erect with a backbone, and literally to declare the truth and not apologize for it and watch what God does. God watches over the truth to bring it to pass in our lives. Amen. As I began to get ready for today, we kind of are running a little bit loosely because I'm going to minister for a little bit and then I'm just going to let her take it and then whatever she messes up, I'll correct later on.
Thank you.
Which is not, she's a great teacher of the Word of God and it's amazing. Sometimes I'm sitting around talking to her and I think I got a new revelation and she adds about 8 more things to that. And then I think, thank you. I'm not giving you any credit for what I now know, but I am going to use that. But one of the things that I began to think about when we got ready for today, because so many times when people are struggling receiving a healing or walking in healing, and I think this is true for the body of Christ, I think one of the biggest hindrances to people receiving from God would be a spirit of condemnation. Not being able to get out of and out from under a spirit of condemnation. And there's different avenues that spirit of condemnation can come. But one of the things I began to think about was this, that in the church world, it's usually in the church world where people understand that God is a healer, and we profess that all the time. We talk about him being a healer. And I know that you probably, if you've been going here any time at all, but I believe this with all my heart, that I believe it is God's will to heal everyone, every time, everywhere, regardless of where they are. There's no qualifications with God, but it's good that we feel some qualifications with God. But one of the things God wants us to do is understand that we can come to him and we can expect his healing power to flow through us. And then on the way there, we make sure that we just, you know, God wants us to keep our hearts pure. I think that goes without saying. But it's amazing what happens when people begin to live under condemnation. Once you get out from under condemnation, seems like it opens the door to receiving from God. And so I'm going to begin by reading in Romans chapter 8. This is a scripture that most of us are familiar with. But beginning in verse 1, this is the New King James. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." How much condemnation is there in those who walk in Christ Jesus? "Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law be fulfilled, might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If by chance you have walked with a lot of anxiety, you're anxious about things turning out a certain way, and you're not sure that if you were to believe God that it would turn out that way. And I think sometimes we don't understand it, but it really is a spirit of condemnation, because it's you feeling like you're not worthy to receive from God. And I want to take you all the way back to those of you that got born again, whenever it was that you got born again. You were not, most of you that got born again were not students of the Word. You hadn't been praying for 15 years. You hadn't been seeking God with all your heart, with all your soul. All of a sudden it came to that moment where you realized, I need a Savior in my life. And all hell could not stop that from happening. All of hell and all its power could not stop that from happening. You got born again because you made the decision to trust God's Word. And when you trust God's Word, He watches over His Word to enact it, to empower it in your life, as Jeremiah says. So when we get into this life, the spirit of condemnation does not come. It comes from several sources. But you need to understand, typically, there is a way to deal with the spirit of condemnation. The Bible says in John chapter 3, when we read in verse 16 about, you see that at the, football's about ready to start, and something for a lot of places it has, but pro football especially, when they do an end zone shot, getting ready to kick an extra point, you'll always see John 3:16 hanging up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him will not perish but have everlasting life. And then it goes on to say, for the Son of Man came not into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. So the condemnation that most of us think we're dealing with is the condemnation that we can conjure up within ourselves. But you need to understand that once you become a child of God, there's no condemnation from God coming your way. There could be some conviction, and we've kind of intermingled the two, and we let people think, well, condemnation and conviction are the same thing. They're not. Condemnation is a bully pulpit for the enemy. He makes you feel like you're less than worthy to receive from God, and you'll never be to that place where you should expect God to do a miracle or even do a work in your life. But he did a great one when you got born again. The greatest miracle that you will ever experience, most of you have already had if you know Jesus. But the condemnation that most people deal with, a lot of times, is the condemnation of your own heart. You did something and said something that maybe hurt you, and you just felt like, dear Lord, if you just knew what I did. There's times I've come and prayed for, had people come up and I pray for them. And they said, well, you know, I know why I'm in this situation. And you know, sometimes our decisions do put us in precarious situations. But you need to understand, if you can take care of that condemnation that's in your heart, so that you can assure yourself before the presence of God. Because really what right standing with God means is that you can stand before God without a sense of shame, guilt, or condemnation. That's what righteousness is. And Jesus bought and paid for our righteousness. And so we begin to look at Word of God like, and I just shared and alluded to this, but 1 John 3:20-23 says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. I don't know why we have bought into the fact that it's good that you feel bad about stuff. It's good that you have godly sorrow, because godly sorrow will lead you to repentance. But the reason it's called godly sorrow is you understood that you just sinned against God. And you want to take care of that. There are some people that teach that you don't have to repent anymore once you become born again. But I personally think that it'd be a good idea to keep your heart clean. Not just let things ride. But listen to what it says. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. How much does God know? He knows what you need. He knows what you need or what you need to deal with to get everything that you need to walk on with Him. God wants you to walk with Him as effectively and as efficiently as you can. So God is greater than our heart, knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His... What do we do in His sight? Those things that are pleasing. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus and love one another as He gave us commandment. And then again in 2 Corinthians 5:21, and this is the NIV, says, God made Him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Now think about this for just a moment. God made Jesus sin without Jesus ever sinning. Think about that. He literally made His only begotten Son sin without His only begotten Son ever committing a sin. So if God can make His Son sin without His Son sinning, how many of you think it's probably possible for God to make you righteous without any of your works? He's God. And the Bible says it was by one man's sin that we all sin. And it's also by one man's righteousness that we've all been made righteous. One man's sacrifice. First Adam got us all in trouble. Second Adam, Jesus, got us all out of trouble. And so He took upon Himself our sin, literally, so that we could take upon ourselves His righteousness, literally. We do not live this life by our righteousness. We live it by the righteousness of the Son of God. And I think about this often. I think about my ability to be able to stand in my quiet time, in my prayer time, and stand before God and just simply say, God, I can stand here and I don't feel guilty. And I know stuff I've done. I mean, the enemy really likes to remind you of your past. And I'm telling you, when he reminds you of your past, always remind him of his future. It's not good for him. But I'm saying this. You need to come to the place where you really understand. I am not going to be, if you know Jesus, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I expect the rights and privileges that comes with that righteous standing. I'm not in this because I'm going to get great material gain, but I can tell you this, because of my right standing with God, I am going to be blessed in a lot of areas, including finances. Amen? If nothing else, just to buy Christmas presents. But I'm just saying, we should, and God, real honestly, I mean, we all kind of laugh, but God is really, He's serious about blessing people. Spirit, soul, body, financially, every area of life, including health. The healthier you are as a child of God, never has God said, listen, little sickness is good for you because you need to be taught something. God does not chastise us with sickness or disease. He chastises us, corrects us with the Word of God. That's why there is therefore now no condemnation to those who believe. Amen.
Well, I just enjoy myself. I'm reminded of Colossians chapter 3, the first verse or two says, seek those things which, if you're born again, if you've been raised up with Christ, seek those things which are above. And the very things that Pastor West is talking to us this morning about is seeking things, the right things that God has done for us. Condemnation is from the world. It's from this lower realm. And God is saying, now you gotta think up. You gotta think heavenly things. We have to think heavenly thoughts, heavenly ways. This is the way the Word of God, speaks to, this is His perspective. Is that sin was put on Jesus. All of the sin of the world was put on Jesus. And so that we could be made righteous or have right standing with God. And so part of what I would say is, what are you thinking about? What are you dwelling on? What are you, are you thinking low thoughts? I'm just a nothing and a nobody. I'm unworthy. I don't have this, or I'm not smart, or I'm not this or that. No, it's seeking the things, the righteous things that Jesus did for us, the holy things that we've been called into. And that's just real important. And so, you know, if we live down here, if we let condemnation dominate us in our thinking, and it'll affect our actions, it'll affect our marriages, it'll affect relationships, it'll affect your health, it'll affect your provision, it'll affect every area of your life. And, you know, when you walk in the light of being made right with God, right standing with God, you take on a whole different mindset. You take on a whole different countenance. You see yourself different. And when you begin to like yourself, esteem yourself, not in an ungodly way, not in a boastful or proud way, but just the way God sees you. I mean, you and I must be pretty special for Jesus to take everything, every sin, every disease, every failure, every sin, all the guilt, all the shame was put on Jesus on the cross, so that we don't have to live that way. That we don't have to be burdened down by that. You know, man has no problem getting himself in trouble. We have no problem getting ourselves into sin, but we have no ability to get ourselves out of the dominion of sin and condemnation. But Jesus took that for us.
Yeah.
So we just need to, you know, there's many things, but keep learning, staying and thinking above, not the low, because the low will keep us low, keep us down, keep us depressed, keep us sad. Oh, but you start thinking God thoughts. Jesus said in Isaiah, or the word says in Isaiah 55, you know, the Lord said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. But he said, you know, I'll give you my thoughts. And you think my thoughts. And my thoughts will raise you up. My thoughts will cause you to smile. My thoughts will change your marriage. My thoughts will bless your life and beyond. Hallelujah. Even generations.
Yes.
Amen.
That's good. Mm-hmm. You should be a minister.
We all are.
Yes, we all are.
We all are.
Hallelujah. You know, real quickly, what you need to understand is that condemnation comes from more than just you. The initial condemnation that people have to deal with is typically right from the pit of hell. It comes from Satan and his domain. And matter of fact, the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Tells us that in the book of Revelation. He is the accuser of the brethren. And he wants you to be nothing but under condemnation. The condemnation with the enemy, with that condemnation from the enemy, always comes a sense of punishment. You know, sometimes if you can just be punished enough to bless God, pay for what you've done. Well, you got to remember, Jesus has paid for it. And the enemy would like us to forget that he has done that. He is a defeated foe, not going to be a defeated foe. He is a defeated foe. But what it takes from you and I, literally, is us standing in our righteousness. I stand on the Word of God. I have a right to stand upon the Word of God. That's called right standing. There's such a thing as wrong standing. You can be on the wrong side of the Word of God. And I forgot, I was going to mention this earlier on, but when Christians that understand, and they understand that it's God's will to heal them, and yet they go through a long season or a long siege where it just seems like it's never going to be over. And it's usually Christians, I don't think unbelievers, people that don't believe in healing, they never get under condemnation because they don't get healed. And if they do get healed, they say, wow, dodged a bullet. You know, and you want to take those people and just say, walk into this. But they don't know any better. But Christians, we do. We believe God's will is to heal us every time. And when sickness and disease comes our way, we believe that Jesus has made a way through that victoriously. It's been signed, sealed, and delivered by the blood of the Lamb. And when we begin to live this way, we begin to live in a way that understands that if that condemnation has come to literally cause you to think that you are going to live under condemnation, with that condemnation going to come some punishment because you need to pay for what you did, or you hold somebody else accountable, that comes out of the pit of hell.
Yes.
It really does. And so the first avenue of condemnation, of course, is going to come from the enemy. I remember years ago, before I met Jesus, I was being drawn to Jesus all my life. I can look back and see moments where the Lord was drawing me. The Lord is always drawing you to Him. That's why testimonies come and people say, you know, seemed like there was a moment there in my life where the Lord was drawing me, but I just kind of ignored it. And then there's another time you go on down the road, a year or two, and there's another moment you're quiet and you're in out at a Presbyterian church camp. And I was telling Debbie about this the other day. It's been a while, actually, but I'd gone to a Presbyterian church camp, and we had a counselor, and I'm not proud to say this, but one other guy that was from Larned and me, and this counselor happened to be a Presbyterian pastor, but we literally made him cuss at us. He got so frustrated with us. But it was at that particular camp we were having a kumbaya meeting out by the pond that night. And one of the things our counselor did that I thought was kind of neat, he said, I want you to write yourself a letter, because a lot of us made a commitment to God that night. He said, I want you to write yourself a letter. And then when December gets here, I'm going to send it to you. And so that's in June. About 5 months later, 6 months later, I get this letter. And it's telling me, Wesley, I just want to remind you that you gave your heart to the Lord. And I thought, well, who in the world would send me a letter like that? I'm serious. I couldn't even recognize my handwriting. And then as I kept reading, I thought, this is from me. Oh, my gosh. I wasn't exactly living for God, but I knew that God had been tugging on my heart. He does that all the time. But I remember talking to a man in the fraternity that I belonged to that I got kicked out of. I remember talking to him and convincing him that I believed I knew God. He said, you're the first person I've ever believed that really does believe God. And I had no more clue about what believing God meant to than my ability to, like Brother Hagin says, get to walk on the moon. I never have ever thought about that. But I know all my life God has been drawing me, and I know all your life God has been drawing you. And even after you become a believer, He doesn't stop wooing you. He doesn't stop drawing you. He wants to do good things in your life. That's why the Bible says in James 4, submit therefore to God, resist the devil. Your true submission that resists the devil, that empowers you to resist the devil, is your submission to God. Because God has the empowerment that's flowing into you by His Spirit to resist the devil and keep him underfoot where Jesus placed him. Amen?
Yes.
He has not been... There is nothing in the Bible that teaches that Satan was put here to be God's battering ram. God just telling people, well, we need to just slap them into shape. No, what happens is God slapped the enemy out of shape, took all his authority away. And then through his son Jesus, through his sacrifice, through his shed blood, empowered us. There is power in the blood. And so he did do exactly what he said he was going to do. And he empowered us to do so. First of all, Satan, the enemy, has come to, sow as much condemnation as he can. Secondly, I think this probably bugs us more than anybody else. It's self-condemnation. I know people that literally have told me they despise themselves. I don't say this a lot, but every now and then I'll say something really good while I'm ministering. And it's just good. And I'm going, I just say out loud, I love me. Everybody goes, what? And I said, well, I love me, because you can only love people to the extent that you love yourself. And how did God create you to be? And you got to be careful. You don't want to get in pride, be arrogant. But I thank God created me. And I thank God that He put His word in me. I thank God He put His Spirit in me. And I thank God that I don't have to live under condemnation. I don't want to be reminded of days of old that were bad. I don't mind the miracles being reminded of those. But I don't want to go back and live my past. And I remember going back to Lakin right after I gotten born again. My kids were still pretty young. We'd run into friends that knew me when I was in school, grew up with them. And they'd always tell my children, said, if you really want to know what your dad is like... And I would look at him and say, that's not me anymore. That man died. I got born again. The old man is dead. Thank God. Mm-hmm. But the condemnation that comes into our own life is absolutely debilitating if it's from us and if we're afraid to let go of it. Because we think no matter what we've done, even, did you know, this may surprise some of you, but did you know Christians can miss the mark? three or four people nodded their head. Yes, well, anyhow, that's true. You can miss the mark. So how long does it take to get over that? Not very long. God, I'm sorry. It's kind of answered in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you miss the mark, it does nothing with your vertical relationship with the Father. You're still his son, you're still his child, still his daughter. But when you do sin, miss the mark, it kind of hinders the fellowship. And God wants that fellowship restored as quickly as possible, because he's the one that can then breathe into you the example, the words that you need to live this life by. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Our hearts. So the quicker that we can get an assurance in our hearts, the better off we are. Not to put up with that, because the enemy can then, he'll come in and try to amplify your self, you know, your self-loathing, if you will. Am I the only one that's ever missed the mark as a Christian? I know Kenneth Copeland used to have a saying. He said, when he first came in the kingdom of God, he said, everything I liked was illegal, fattening, or unscriptural. And he said, most every day I'd just say, well, I'd pass two of them up. But God wants you to walk free from the influence of the enemy. And he wants you to have a confidence about what he's done for you and in and through his son, Jesus Christ. He has come into your life to save, heal, and deliver you from the curse that the enemy brought in through the fall of man.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God loves you enough that he wants you to be well.
Yes.
He loves you enough that he wants you to enjoy life. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to have any challenges. We all do. But sometimes we think, well, I become a Christian, why should I have any challenges? Because there is an enemy. And that enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Listen to this out of Romans chapter 14. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what at one time he approved himself to do. I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to give it a whirl. You know, sometimes in conversations, and I do this pretty well, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't say many negative things about you, period, at all. I mean, I just don't. First of all, I'm living with her, and I don't want to get kicked out, but I've learned this over the years, that the best thing I can do is just speak good words over her. And she does me. She says things about me, and she goes through a list of things. And when she gets done, I go, boy, I'd really like to meet him someday.
It's true.
Yeah.
No, what I said is true.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you're not going to lie in front of everybody. But do you have faith? Listen to what it said. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he. Anybody here looking for any kind of happiness? Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. There are some choices that we know we probably shouldn't have gone there. But there's nothing in the Bible that says it takes you 5 years to get over. I've heard of testimonies of people saying, I said something 5 years ago, I just can't get over it. And I'm thinking, well, get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We can kind of come to the place, either we really have put stuff under the blood or we haven't. The blood of Christ. And God wants us to walk that way. And in our life, you'll hear this all the time. You hear it in, especially in a church with this environment. The problem that most of us have is in our thought life. So we really often need to have a checkup from the neck up. make sure, just as Pastor Debbie shared a while ago, that we make sure that we're thinking the high things of God. For His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts, same way. They're higher than our thoughts. Let's go with His. Because they will do nothing. God's thoughts in your life, meditated on, they will do nothing but lift you up. Yes. It'll take you to a new and yes. better level. Mm-hmm. It'll take you to a place of peace. I got up last night, and I don't know if you guys have ever had a sleepless night. Last night was it. And Debbie and I have somewhat of a game sometimes. But anyhow, we were waking up at 2:30 laughing, and I thought, well, I am going to participate, and that's neither here nor there, but I was wide awake, and so I got up about 3:15, 3:30, and I went out by the way, I told you I have a sunroom. 3 o'clock in the morning, it's not so sunny. But I went out there, and I felt anxiousness on the inside of me. I felt kind of a heaviness on the inside of me, and she had kind of recognized it, I'm sure. But I went outside and to my deck and got my Bible out on my phone, my iPhone. And I just started reading some scriptures that I had prepared for today about there being no anxiety in your life. If there is, there's a possibility that there could be some condemnation. That you think, well, somebody needs to pay for this so that, you know, what God can do, He can do. But after I got through reading probably 5 minutes in the Word of God, I literally felt that just lift off of me. There's peace in this word. And it literally does away with condemnation. I don't care what angle it comes from. And so I'm going to stop there a little bit and let you pick up, and then I'll come after you. You got anything?
One scripture, and that is Proverbs 4. And we usually go to start in verse 20 to 22. It says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy sight. Keep them in the midst of your eyes. Let them not depart from their eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life." The word of God. The word that God speaks to you, they are life. Life. Life to those who find them. And health. Soundness, medicine to your flesh. And then the next verse says, let me see if I have it from the Amplified. It says, "And guard your heart, keep your heart." That's what it says. Keep your heart. One version says, "Guard your heart and keep your heart with all." The Amplified says, "With all vigilance, for out of your heart, out of your spirit, flows the issues of life, the springs of life." So just want to take a few moments on this last part here. Keep your heart with all diligence. And one version says with not only diligence, but vigilance. When I think of vigilance, that means you're highly attentive. You're alert night or day. You're just kind of, you might be going through the steps of the day, but at the same time, you're just on alert. Not even always knowing why, but you're alert. You're attentive. Well, this morning, I like Sonic drinks. One drink in particular. And so I go there every day. Several times a day, actually. I go there a lot. And since we've been married, Wes goes out in the morning, gets his Starbucks, and he'll get me a Sonic, and then we trade off mornings that I'll go and I'll do our little, get our drinks. But this morning when he got out, came home, and he had set my drink on the dresser, and he started walking toward the dresser. I'm here, and he's walking, and my eyes went to that Sonic. It's like, don't do this with your elbow. You might knock this off. And, you know, we started talking,
she was paying no attention to me. It was everything on the Coke.
So I got my drink, and I went and moved it to a place that I knew it wouldn't be in a pathway. So, and I told him, I said, you know, I've been drinking Sonic now for a good 10, 15 years, and I like it because of the cup. I like the drink, but it's the cup with the crushed ice, and the cup keeps the ice. Keeps the ice going, you know. I don't really care. Do you mind if we talk about this? Or would this be one of those stop, Debbie, stop? There's times when I'm finally talking, and you'll just say, Debbie, stop. Well, anyway, so I moved my drink. And I don't need to explain why I like that, but why I like something. But anyway, so, you know, I was telling him this morning, I said, you know, as long as I've been drinking Sonic, I think I've only spilled maybe two drinks, two of all these large drinks that I get. Why? Because I guard it. I guard my Sonic. You know, I keep it out of the way when kids or whoever's coming around. And, you know, that's the way we need to be with our heart. Heart and your thinking, our thoughts. Guard, you know, we guard our house. We lock our doors. We lock our cars. We have safes. We keep, things, valuable things in our safe. We just do. And, the scripture tells us here, one version says, above all that you guard, such as your monies, your car, your house, your marriages, your children, etc. Above all that you guard, guard your heart. And I know Sonic is a little thing, but I'm mindful of it. They're my drink, you know? So it's the same thing applies here, you know, guarding against condemnation, guarding against depression, guarding against these thoughts that oppose God and how God thinks of you. So guard your heart.
And we learn that by guarding the Sonic.
Yes, we do.
Absolutely. I kind of remember when she spilled a little bit of it in my truck.
That's because it was so heavy that when I went to pick it up, the lid came off. And yes.
Oh, hallelujah. So simply put, we're dealing with condemnation from several areas, and I'm going to do one more, and then we'll close it down. But talked about the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, him bringing condemnation into our life. That's the arena that he operates in. And then secondly is your own self-condemnation for what you've done or said. And then another one that's probably just as challenging, and maybe more than, they're all pretty challenging, but you've been given incredible resources from the Holy Spirit to combat anything the enemy wants to do in your life. Matter of fact, he will show you things to come to help you to avoid certain things. But anyhow, one of the other things I think we have a lot of trouble with is this condemnation that comes from others. And usually it's people that you know well. We've talked about this when we were called in the ministry, you know, several years apart, but they dealt with this, she and her husband Greg, and Sandy and I dealt with the same thing. But there are people that loved us, knew us, and the enemy used them to try to talk us out of fulfilling God's will. And at that time, you really had to just kind of kick against that negativity, because they didn't want you to go anywhere but where you were, and they thought they knew better than you. And I remember one of my parents, my mom, telling me, she says, well, Wesley, you've got a good job. What'd you go to college for? I said, well, to get a job. She said, well, you've got a job. Why are you going to take your family and go? And I said, because I don't know how to explain this other than I feel like God's telling me to do it. And I feel like I kind of need to do what God says. But God literally used people that they were close to us, Christians that meant well, and they spoke negativity toward us. And even in the body of Christ, even in families, sometimes even somebody that's as close to you as they can get can be the most destructive people, because they begin to be tools and they begin to voice the enemy's thoughts about you, trying to breed and to stir up self-condemnation in you. Listen to this. This is a pretty good scripture, but in 2 Corinthians 7, verses 2 to 3, says, open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one, and we have cheated no one. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. And then in Proverbs 17:15, and this is a pretty powerful scripture, but listen to this. It says, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them are like an abomination to the Lord. Both of them. So we have to be real careful about our words to one another. It's not ours to condemn another brother or sister in the Lord, especially when they've been forgiven and there's no condemnation coming from. There's never, ever, to the believer, there will never be one iota of condemnation from God the Father. None. Would he like you to do better at times? Sure. He's just like any father. Amen? My children will tell you, I like them to do well. I remember Kristen was running, was it a long distance race, half mile or mile? And she'd get in front of the stands where all the spectators were sitting. She'd zoom past. I mean, just she'd get on the other side and just almost start walking. Boy, that bothered me. So I let that happen for two laps. And then on the third lap, I walked over there to catch her on the backside on the fourth lap. Parenting 101, I missed early on. But anyhow, I got to her on the other side and I said, Kristen, I said, there are five girls ahead of you. And for all that stay ahead of you, I'm going to give you a SWAT. Golly, you should have seen her take off. I wish I'd done that earlier. Well, how many of you know that's probably not good parenting? Go ahead and raise your hand. Y'all have done stuff like that. You want your children to do well. God wants you to do well, but he doesn't want you to be the one that he uses to, or that the enemy uses to voice condemnation into your life. The last thing you need to hear from a fellow believer is condemnation. You need to kind of become their cheering section. Hey, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, you can get through this thing.
Yes.
You just stay with God, walk with God, and allow God to bring you up to that level that he wants to bring you up to. Most people think, I'm going to have to stay at this level because I'm just not. Listen, that's why Jesus came, so that you could be raised up to another level.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. And that our eyes and our heart are fixed on him. That's why the Bible says we're looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's why we can trust him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. And so when we come to him, who just happens to be the healer, and he walks in our midst by and through the Holy Spirit, when we come to him, there's no condemnation from any level that we're allowing into our life. So thereby do we trust God to just simply heal us, not based upon our performance, but bless God based upon what Jesus did for us. What a great way to live.
Glory to God, yes.
And we all, sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we get patient. I say this a lot. I was just telling Debbie on the way to church this morning. I think it was on the way here. I said, one of the things I do to the Lord, I say this, and I know I'm not going to get away with it. Because I understood a long time ago that he's much smarter than I am. But I will say this with the Lord, because I have a good relationship, but he can be funny. And I think he made me a little bit funny. It looks and everything. But anyhow, I told Debbie, I said, I say this to the Lord often. I say, Lord, if I was you and you were me, I'd do that for you. Silence. But it's fun to look that way. But God wants to do for us more than what we think. Sometimes all he's doing, he's doing one of two things. He's either waiting for you to shut up or to speak up. Because if he's wanting you to shut up, it's because you're not speaking up. And you're snared by the words of your mouth. And so when we trust and believe God for just the miracle work and power in our life, that's not a bad thing. And people say, well, what if I don't get healed? What if you do? What if you do? That goes without saying, because in him, the gospel, the covenant is sealed. We're lacking nothing. Every good thing has been bestowed upon us through and by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we come behind no good thing. That includes, you know, God doesn't want us just to always be in a position needing to be healed. He wants us to walk free from sickness and disease. And its debilitating effect in people's lives. Because the healthier you are, the better you can serve God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You got any more? Mm-hmm. You're going to leave me hanging to dry, huh? So what I'd like to do, we'll do a couple things. We're going to receive communion before we pray for people. But as soon as we're through with receiving communion, then Debbie and I are going to, we're going to ask you to come up, and if the Lord leads us to, we'll lay hands on you, but we'll pray with you and agree with you, and we'll believe God. And if you need healing in any area of your life, not just physical, if you need emotional, you've been dealing with just thoughts that are just causing you to be confused about stuff, God's not a God of confusion. Amen. Amen. And so we'll pray with you, we'll believe with you, and then if you have a loved one that you're praying and believing God for, we'll pray and agree with you. Because it's time for those people that are sick and diseased, it's time for them to come forth in the name of Jesus. Yes. Jesus loves to call people forth. He did that with Lazarus.
Yes.
Jesus played with his disciples. You know, he didn't just drop everything all at once when he heard that Lazarus is sick. He just waited. He waited several days, and he decided when he went over there, said, well, it's time to go. And his disciples said, Lord, he's just sick. He'll be all right. So, hey, he's dead. And I assume if Jesus says they're dead, they're dead. And so when he got there, Mary and Martha both said, Lord, if you would have gotten here earlier, you could have saved our brother and yada, yada, yada. And so they went out the tomb, and then Jesus just said, I love the way he operated. Roll away the stone that they closed that tomb with. One of the Lazarus sisters said, but Lord, you know, he stinks by now. How many of you know Christians that stink? Don't raise your hand. Don't go like this either. Stinks by now. And so he looks at people and he sees Mary and Martha and friends and family weeping. They're hurt because they've lost a loved one. That they are feeling the full effect of it. And the Bible said Jesus even wept. And there's a lot of reasons why people have thought, theologians, that he wept. But I believe Jesus feels the compassion of us. But he was about to turn those emotions around. Three words. Lazarus! Come forth. That had to be a pretty cool sight. Wrapped in his grave clothes. That's why Jesus said, loose him, let him go. Because he's fixing to do a dance. But what looks to be impossible, and I don't know what impossible is because it's on different levels. But what could look to be impossible in your life is possible with God. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Any more?
All things are possible to him who believes. So we're believers.
Yes, we are.
We believe God.
Yes, we are. Well, ushers come and serve the people. That portion that represents the body of Christ. Just hold it till you've been serving. We'll all partake of it together. If you want to sit down. Reading from 1 Corinthians, Apostle Paul says in chapter 11, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Who do we do this in remembrance of?
Jesus.
And it is, of course, we don't want to make light of his sacrifice and the brutality that he suffered so that you and I could partake of this. We don't want to make light, but we need to understand that he did that so that we could be translated into the kingdom where he lives with God. That's why we were commemorated. Yeah, thank God for his suffering. Thank God that he took 39 stripes, 40 save one, 39 stripes that literally ripped his tissue off his bones. so that you and I could be well. But we do this in remembrance of him. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Again, in remembrance of him. That bloodshed changed our lives. Amen. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You know, I've often thought about the bread of life, and a lot of times we're using basic loaf of bread or wafers or oyster crackers. It represents the body of Christ. But what Jesus is saying, this represents him. This represents Jesus. And that we're partaking of him. And Jesus and the Word are one and the same. No man comes unto the Father except through him. So when we partake of this, we're celebrating Jesus in our life. Can you say amen? Take, eat the body of Christ. When they pass the cup, I'm going to encourage you to just go ahead and take it and partake of it. But I want to give you several different reasons that the blood of Jesus is so important to us. Number one, everybody say number one, we have redemption through his blood. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, those words exactly. We have redemption. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, bought and paid for. Our redemption is paid for through the blood. Number two, we have fellowship with God through the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10:19 says, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have direct access to the throne room of God by and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And then this is one that I think will fit into today perfectly. We have healing through the blood. When Jesus was striped, Isaiah 53:5 says, by his stripes we are healed. And you have to know that when he was striped those 39 times, that he bled out. Probably most human beings, they couldn't survive probably 15 of those stripes. He survived 39 of them. It had to be a supernatural work. He literally was bleeding out. Thank you, Richard. So this blood not only brings us healing, but it also, as we've talked about since March of 2020, it's the blood that we put on the doorpost of our homes that the Israelites were instructed to by the Lord to put on the doorpost of the home. And I take it one step further than that, and I think it's important to cover everything in the blood of Jesus, but I think it's talking more about the doorpost of your heart. You keep the blood over that. And when the death angel comes, has no right to stop over your place. Has no right to stop at your house. Has no right to stop at your body. That blood is all powerful, but we have to attend to that blood. You know, it's more than just drinking that which represents the blood of Jesus. And you get all sorts of, how come you don't use red juice or grape juice? Because white doesn't stain near as much. That's the only reason. But really it's symbolic. This is symbolic of the blood of Jesus that was shed for our lives, for protection and healing both. We should understand that we're protected by that blood and declare it. And that's why that just reminds me, until we say differently every Sunday for however long, we're receiving communion here. So we want to prepare it every Sunday. You know, in a way, the Catholics have something. The problem with having it real regularly, like sometimes churches do, they begin to take it for granted, and we don't want to do that. And I'm not saying they do. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm just saying sometimes you can do things so much that it just becomes routine to you, and you never want this to become routine to you. Amen? take and drink. You know, God himself told the Israelites, he says, once you put that blood on the doorpost, the lintels of your post, doorpost, once you put that blood, he says, I will see to it that the death angel passes over you. You got God's help. God really loves you, and he really wants your prayer answered. And he sent Jesus to do just that. I wish sometimes, there's times, and then this is one of them, there's times that I can sense the compassion of God. And that's what, every time you heard or read in the Bible where Jesus was moved with compassion, and the Bible said every time he was moved that way, he healed people. His heart is that you be well. Not because you're perfect. Not because you're flawless. But the Jesus that lives inside you is. And God will heal you and your loved ones for that reason. I don't talk about this very often, and Debbie and I talk a little bit about our former spouses, and I knew Greg, and actually I knew him better than I knew Debbie. And Greg was a great guy, and loved talking with him the few times I had. We spent time at different meetings over the years. And she knew Sandy probably better than she knew me. They talked, but I do remember this. There was times when Sandy was going through some really, really tough times. We'd take communion every day. Every day. I'd get up, we'd get the communion elements out, and we would apply the blood and receive Jesus into our situation. And I got to tell you that I think it probably gave her 15 years more of life. And that doesn't make anything. You say, well, she did die. Listen, guys, I don't want to break your bubble, but we're all dying someday. So Jesus, tarry. I mean, you can kiss your old body goodbye if he tarries a bit. But I believe he wants us to live a long life. And I believe he wants to live it well. Amen. And so that's why she had 41 years of marriage that was, for the most part, really good. And there was a couple, a year and a half of challenges that they had to stand. And then the same way with Sandy, the last 3 years. I mean, she battled stuff on and off for a lot of years, but I'm telling you, she was a fighter. And the last time she ended up in ICU, she said to me, I looked up on her IV stand, and there was 11 bags of stuff being pumped into her system from that stand, and there were 2 more bags of stuff being pumped in from another. And I thought, oh, dear God. And I went over, and I leaned down, and I hugged her and kissed her on the cheek, and she looked up at me, and she said, I'm tired of this. I said, I understand. And that's the first time she'd ever said that in all the years that she'd been ill. She never said it. I mean, she's fighting. And I would ask her from time to time, yes, you're not giving up on me, are you? And she'd say, no. I said, okay. But she applied the blood again and again. And this time, after, when she said that, I'm tired of this, in 2 days, she stepped into heaven. And I believe it's all because of the blood and the body. And then, God is just a good God. He brought me this lady that put a hop in my step. Literally. I traded my truck off. In one year, I put 25,000 Debbie miles on that thing. But all I'm saying is, lots of stuff happens in people's life, and we can kind of get, well, it has to happen this. Listen, you just need to understand that God wants you. He wants your loved ones well. And he wants, even though there's, so, well, what about this? God wants you. He wants your loved ones well. He wants your relationships healed. He wants you to be whole. He wants your finances to be over and beyond so that you can give to every good work and charitable donation. He wants you well in every area of your life. Can you say amen? Amen. So we're going to pray for you. Debbie and I are. And if you want us to pray for you, we may lay hands on you. We may not. We won't slap you. Yeah, please. Thank you, guys. So if you want to come up and just stand along here, ushers, Tom, you can kind of line them up, and we're going to pray for you. Believe God with you. So come on up. Just stand right up here and line up across the way here. Can I move on down a little bit, Denise, would you please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No. Thank you, Lord. You know, I believe that today when we pray, you get what you're praying for. And I believe you get it today.
Amen.
And I don't believe that you have to be anxious. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be afraid. Because God's working above and beyond where you think He is right now. He is exceedingly and abundantly above all that you might ask, think, or imagine in your life. And that's answering your prayer. And, you know, those that are watching, I'm probably thinking Tim may be watching. I've been watching, but what they need to know, I've been calling him forth. He told me yesterday, I was talking to him on the phone, he says, Pastor West, he said, tell the people I'm standing in the enemy's camp and I'm taking back everything that belongs to me.
Amen.
I said, I like that thinking. Amen. Amen. Why does God want to do anything for us? Because He loves us. Amen. Well, we're going to start down here on this end. And when we come by, I'd like you to just kind of hold your palms out like this, and we'll either lay our hands on your palm or I'll lay my hand on your forehead. But at least we can touch your palms and then maybe your forehead as well. And we're just going to say, we're releasing in Jesus' name. We're doing what we're doing in Jesus' name. You understand that? Amen. That name which is above every name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, right now that we pray in Jesus' name and we release the anointing of God in Jesus' name. Speak healing into this body. Lord, in Jesus' name, we speak healing into this body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, that name above all names, we speak healing into this body. Satan, you're a liar. You're a filthy liar. This is God's property in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, release the anointing. Release it in Jesus' name. Healing flow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Joy of God comes in the morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray right now. We release by faith that anointing of God. We release in Jesus' name. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Release in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we release that anointing of God. In Jesus' name, speak to everything that needs correction. Heal, whole, delivered, soundness. Deliverance, Father God, for family members. Thank you, Lord. 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 In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, I release the anointing of God right now. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release the anointing of God. I thank you, Lord, right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, all those crevices, all those little parts that need to be corrected, I thank you, Lord, that you're healing right now, that you're moving, and the deliverance and the power and the peace of God dwells in this man. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that supernatural peace. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for healing flowing. Flowing, 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 not only in this body, but in Tim's body. God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 In Jesus' name, we agree. We release the anointing of God right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be anxious for nothing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Healing flow where he didn't even think it could flow. I think it right now. It's flowing in those places in Jesus' name. Healthier than he's ever been. Lord, I thank you. Healthier than he's been in years. God, I thank you right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I release the anointing of God. I thank you right now. In Jesus' name. Release that anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's your husband? Right now, Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. We release that anointing. Release it into that room, that ICU room. Lord, we thank you now in Jesus' name. God, your presence fills that room. Lungs begin to function normally. In Jesus, heartbeat normally. Blood cells, you go back into normalcy in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you. Live and not die in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, God, I release the anointing of God. Well-being in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Well-being. Well-being, well-being, well-being in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yep. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hasikabrokoba. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father, for your strength.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you right now. Lord, we call forth healing in a new measure. Lord, I thank you for your strength. I thank you for your reversal of stuff. And I thank you, Father God, you just simply honor your word to this woman. And I thank you, Father God, that the best days are ahead for this lady. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, healthier, healthier than she's ever been for years. God, thank you. Normalcy began to return in these limbs. God, I thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray in that name, and I release in Jesus' name the anointing of God. The anointing of God. Well-being in the name of Jesus. Satan, you're a liar. This man belongs to God. And I thank you, Father God, that well-being fills his soul. Lord, that his mind is being supernaturally renewed. That by that stuff he's heard over the years is being brought up again. Father, it will deliver him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you right now, Lord. I release that anointing. I speak well-being in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, I release the well-being of a holy one. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wellness, 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 wellness in this body. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 In Jesus' name, I release the anointing of God. I speak well-being into this body. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your well-being. Lord, in Jesus' name. Strength, wholeness. Yes, rise up big within him. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Lord, so I release the anointing of God right now. I release it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well-being. That you be well and whole in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for this couple. Thank you for your life. In Jesus' name, I release that anointing. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I break the power of that thing. In Jesus' name, I release that anointing of God that breaks every yoke. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release that anointing of God into this man. And I thank you, Lord, it's done. Done, signed, sealed, and delivered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I read a book years ago when I was in Rhema. It was written by a man by the name of Roy Hicks. And it was called He Who Laughs Last and Last and Last. And I was thinking, I do this a lot in my own private time because it, but when I'm in the car especially, and some thought will come to me that's just other than the Word of God or enemy trying to intimidate me, and I go, ha 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 ha. It sounds pretty good in the car by yourself, but if you're feeling weird, people looking at a stoplight, they think you're a little bit weird, but I think you can stir up, and your body doesn't know if it's a real laugh or not. They just know it responds to it, and laughing is healthy. So every now and then, you just need to get in a private room and get in the shower and laugh. Or look in the mirror and laugh. I mean, that helps. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. So when the enemy tells you you're not going to get what we prayed for today, here's your response. Why do we laugh at the devil? Because he said it's not going to happen. It does happen because we ask for it, and we get what we ask for. That was worth the trip. Kitty has a right to laugh. Ha ha ha. Well, stand with me. Look at your neighbor and say, this church is weird. And then look back at him and say, thank God. How'd you like to be away from church all the time and just be ticked off because you didn't hear any good news? You heard good news today. And God is not unrighteous to overlook your labor of love and how you walk. We should fully expect God to do what we ask him to do today. He loves to show himself strong on our behalf. Can you say amen? Everybody say, ha ha. Ha ha on the devil. Have we received the offering? Well, you laughed about that, but Father, I thank you. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for you in our lives. And God, thank you that you're working out an effectual cure in every one of our bodies. Lord, your healing touch is divine, and it flows by the blood of Jesus. We thank you for it. We give you praise in that name, which is above every name, the name Jesus. And all agree with that said? Amen, amen. Well, tell somebody you like them, and we are dismissed. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.